I remember when I was in grade school, there was a period of time, I don't remember exactly how old I was, but at our school, it became kind of a sudden fad to do that thing where somebody would get down on all fours behind another person, and then somebody who was in front of that person would push them, and then they would fall over the person behind them. Anyone ever been involved in one of those scenarios? It was like an epidemic for a little while in our school. Now, I know that would never happen at your school. But it happened at our school. I have this vague recollection of looking out over the play yard, and you could just see dotted all over the play yard, people on all fours with somebody standing in front of them and going over. It was crazy. And I realized that's a picture of Palm Sunday. For those of us who hang around church, Palm Sunday comes around and it's like that. It's the setup. It's the Sunday when somebody gets down on all fours behind us. It's the Easter story from a human perspective. It's the setup part. It's Jesus, the Son of God, come to save, God's love in human flesh, showing up. And they have a parade for him, and they all celebrate, and they say, "He's here! Yahoo! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But of course, we've been around this block a time or two, right? We know. Jesus, don't listen to them. Don't be taken in. They're not sincere. They're gonna turn right around and crucify you. And we know it. Every year we do this. It's like the setup. And then, of course, every year you do the Palm Sunday thing. Yay, Hosanna. And, of course, that is kind of how it is, isn't it? It's kind of a... Because we all know what's coming. It's like it's hard to really get in the spirit of the party. This big, huge parade coming into Jerusalem with the Savior of the world riding in. And people actually saying kind of the right stuff. But when we kind of say it along with them, it's kind of like, rah. Because we know it's coming. It's the setup. And nobody wants to look like a fool and let somebody push him over without knowing. There's something elemental. I'm going to get deep now. There's something elemental. There's something essential about the Holy Week drama. As I've thought about it, particularly from this sort of setup idea of Palm Sunday, it seems to me there's something about life in general that is captured for us in the events of Holy Week. This setup thing, this parade that must give way to Good Friday, to crucifixion, to tragedy. People like to live in Palm Sunday. I think people do live in Palm Sunday. Parades, heroes. On Palm Sunday, anything can happen. Hopes are high. Who knows what the future may hold? Hosanna, blessed is he. This could be it. This could be the guy. Actually, it is the guy. It was the guy, and still Good Friday happened. In fact, the big Good Friday happened. We like to live in Palm Sunday, parades, and again, it's sort of the sense of hope. Anything can happen. But not just the Bible. I think history books. I think news magazines. I think your own life experience tells us that we don't have the energy, we don't have the clout, we don't have the power in ourselves to stay in Palm Sunday. Somehow we're always pulled down to some kind of Good Friday. Heroes always disappoint. Loved ones die. Families have trouble getting along, sometimes for long times. Things tend to go that way. We know about Good Fridays. We all have them. And it seems to me, as I think about it, that one of the things that in the world, what we do in our own strength is when we recover from our Good Fridays, we desperately try to find a new hero and make a new parade and get back to Palm Sunday. Some kind of Palm Sunday. Some kind of new parade. Something new to... Anything can happen. Anything can happen, but the same thing always does. This sort of Palm Sunday, Good Friday rotation, I think it's kind of a way of life. It kind of describes life. Go to the movies, see if you don't see that in the dramas that you see there, or read a book. And again, your own life experience, history books. The good news for us, the really good news for us, the good news that can only come from God, is that we have an alternative to the Palm Sunday, Good Friday, get back up to a new Palm Sunday, back down to Good Friday, merry-go-round. And that alternative is called Easter. And it is way more, Easter is way more than the exit, the escape. It's a whole different way of life. Everybody is some kind of a Palm Sunday person. Let's go back to Palm Sunday. We'll come back to Easter probably in a week or so. But for today, I want us to think about this. Everybody is some kind of a Palm Sunday person. I'm going to read the Palm Sunday text. It's funny. We don't always do Palm Sunday on Palm Sunday here. My fault. There are certain Sundays like Easter or Christmas where we pretty much always do the prescribed text, in one form or another. Palm Sunday, a lot of times, in the middle of a sermon series, I'll just keep running going with the sermon series. Oh, by the way, today's Palm Sunday. And then we'll talk about Philippians or Ephesians or whatever it is we're talking about that year. Oh, by the way, it's Palm Sunday. And next Sunday is Easter. And maybe part of the reason for that is because I don't like people pushing me over and making fun of me on the play field. It's like, yeah, Palm Sunday, yeah, yay, Jesus, but we're going to crucify. But this year, things worked out so that we actually could focus for a minute. And I hope you find this helpful, to focus on Palm Sunday. Here's a Palm Sunday text from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. And here's what I want you to think about as we read through this. Look at the different kinds of people, different sorts of people that we meet in this short text. What kind of people? Motivated how? Doing what? There are different groups that we can identify. See what you come up with. Mark 11, 1 through 11. Hear the word of God. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly." They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people, standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" The answer to Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the season of the year. We thank you for this rhythmic reminder of things that are really, really important. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you rode into Jerusalem that day and accepted the praise of men because it was right and proper for you to do so. Lord, you knew they were going to push you over, and you stood there because that was what you had come to do. Lord, help us to see something of what it means to follow you today. What it means that you led to the cross and through the cross. Lord, I pray that you would help us today, that you would remove a little bit of the fear and replace it with a little bit more faith today. We pray this in your name and for your sake. Amen. Everybody is some kind of a Palm Sunday person. In this text, we find, first of all, what I would call participants with Christ, partners choosing God's will, those who are cooperating with Jesus and they know it, the ones that he sends in to get things ready for him, to get the colt. Then you have what I would call accessories of Christ. You might call them pawns. Doing God's will, compelled and compliant. The ones that are referred to as some people. Well, there are some people standing around doing things. They're part of the story. They're actually cooperating. They're actually being used by God for his purposes. They just don't know it. Sort of the extras in this drama in certain ways. The ones that's kind of standing around. Then you have what I call lookouts for Christ. People observing God's will, observing what God is doing, watching and judging. Those who went ahead and those who followed. The ones crying out Hosanna because everybody else seems to be. Kind of watching to see, is this going to work out? You know, it's the anything can happen people. Anything can happen. This could be it. Let's watch and see if it is. We have our idea of how we want this thing to go. Let's see if it does. I mean, maybe this is the guy that's going to form the army and throw off those dirty Romans for us and reestablish our independent nation for God, of course. Like it always was for God. No, actually, it's for us. Lookouts. Crying out Hosanna. Hosanna means save. Save us. We're in trouble. It's one of those cases where the people were saying the right thing, they just didn't know how deep it went. They thought they needed to be saved from political oppression. That they needed to be saved from a foreign occupying army. That they needed to be saved back into the glory years that they enjoyed in their history and that they told stories about. But what they didn't realize or what they failed to realize or conveniently kind of set aside was in those glory years, they were in as much trouble and in some ways more trouble than they are now. They quote from Psalm 118, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's a messianic psalm. It's a messianic hope. This could be the Messiah, the one who's going to put everything right. And again, their problem wasn't that they were off target. It's just that their target was rather thin. They had a very political view of Messiah. A very benefit me. A very ask not what you can do for Messiah, but ask what Messiah can do for you kind of a view. They're crying out these things, lots of them. Why? Well, largely because everybody else is. people kind of like sheep. We know that doesn't happen today. People don't cry out things, do things, buy things just because everybody else is. Yeah, good. We're clear on that. And then there's a fourth sort of person, Messiah, Master, the Christ, the Prince of Peace, accomplishing God's will, saving and revealing His deity and so the character of God. This is Jesus. There He is, requesting faith, expecting submission. He tells people to do stuff and He expects them to do it, and accepting praise. And in a Jewish context, that is huge. A man who accepts that kind of praise was either a megalomaniac, the worst of blasphemers in his cultural context, or he was who he said he was. Now, the key idea for me as I look at these different kinds of people is the idea of purpose. Participants with Christ are working with them, are doing what they're doing, and their purpose is Christ's purpose. They've made their purpose Christ's purpose. What Jesus is trying to accomplish, they're trying to accomplish. Accessories of Christ are doing the will of Christ, but independent of their own will. They're just sort of extras. God is using them in spite of them, not necessarily because of them. Heck, sometimes God uses people who are working against God, and they still cannot escape being accessories in God accomplishing His purposes. Lookouts for Christ are watching to see if Jesus of Nazareth is going to do their will. They have a purpose, and they want Jesus to do it. Restore their political power, bring them greater economic stability, etc. Will their purposes be carried out through Him? That's the question they're asking. It looks like maybe He will do what they hope for them, so they will provide Him with a fan base. But it's very fickle. They'll cheer Him on. But what's going to happen if they don't see their purposes being worked out by this man? Well, you're going to find out. And then you have the Messiah, the Master, Jesus, the Christ, doing the good and perfect will of the Father, accomplishing His redemptive purposes. So everybody's some kind of a Palm Sunday person. I think it's probably worth us asking ourselves as we look at ourselves here today, which of those do we tend to track with? Participants, accessories, lookouts. But listen, Palm Sunday people don't stay that way. There's a couple other things that happen. First, Palm Sunday people become Good Friday people. Participants become lookouts. Jesus predicted. He told them before Palm Sunday got there, "You guys are all going to fall away from me." Of course, He had those that protested otherwise, but they were wrong. Participants, those who, by their will, participate with, make God's purposes their purposes, make Jesus' purposes their purposes. What we see in this story is that Palm Sunday people become Good Friday people. And when the pressure gets too much, when the heat is turned way up, when the risk is too great, those that were doing Jesus' will step back, get behind something, and become lookouts. What's going to happen? And how's it going to affect me? Lookouts for Christ, Hosanna, blessed is He, become lookouts against Christ. Crucify. We gave Him His chance. We gave Him a big parade. And He didn't do it. He didn't do our will. He didn't do what we wanted. He didn't make life better for us today. And so lookouts for Christ become lookouts against Christ. cheers and palm branches become jeers and a Roman cross. He didn't save. Not like they wanted him to. Not according to their timetable. He didn't raise an army. There was no clue, nothing resembling an armed rebellion against Rome under his leadership. He must not be the Messiah. He's a phony. How do they know that? Well, because that's what everybody's saying. Those who went ahead and those who followed cried, Hosanna. And those who went ahead and those who followed a few short hours later cried, Crucify. All of these people become accessories in both the greatest crime in history and the greatest revelation of the love of God that we've ever known. Through all of this, the Messiah remains the master. He doesn't change. Good news. The Messiah of Good Friday is the same as the master of Palm Sunday. His purposes are still being worked out. He is still saving. He is still revealing himself as God the Son. He is still, and especially now, revealing the Father heart of God toward us, the character of God Almighty. He's still requesting faith. He's still expecting submission. People, even his enemies, are still doing his will. Jesus' prayer before the crucifixion, Father, glorify yourself. And the voice comes and says, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. And in his humanness, Jesus prays before he's crucified, Father, remove this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but your will be done. He says to Pilate, the most powerful guy around, you would have no authority over me. This is this bloody man who's about to be crucified. As pathetic a looking figure probably as you could imagine. And he's saying to the governor of the whole area with the power of Rome behind him, you would have no power over me unless it were given to you from above. And Jesus is still accepting praise, though none is being offered on Good Friday outside of heaven. The Master on Good Friday is alone. None of his friends stand with him. No one shares in his suffering and death. No one helps him save. And save he does. I said two things happen, and here's the second one. Not only do Palm Sunday people become Good Friday people, we're wise to know that. On the parades, when everything's pretty good and anything can happen, be ready when the same thing does. But not only do Palm Sunday people become Good Friday people, but Good Friday people become Easter people. And the Master alone has made the difference. It's important. We don't make Easter happen. Jesus makes Easter happen. Jesus makes Easter happen in part because he's God. He makes Easter happen because he was willing and able to go through Good Friday, to die for us, and so to be raised to life and to promise the resurrection for us. See, what happens is that participants turned lookouts become participants again through Easter. The story of Peter is the wonderful biblical example of that. Peter, I will do your will, Jesus. I'll stick with you the whole time. Jesus says you're going to fall away from me. Not me. I never will, even if I die. Really? Rooster crows three times. rooster crows, he's denied him three times. But that's not the end. I think it was Danny. Did you use this story when you were preaching a couple weeks ago? Or am I imagining it? Maybe. Sure, he said yeah. The restoration of Peter. Maybe I heard it on the radio. Top 40 stations are always talking about Peter. There's the restoration, the three times, do you love me, do you love me, do you love me? This conscious restoration of Peter after his three denials. It's after Easter. He was a participant, he became a lookout, and then Jesus restores him back to be a participant with him. We see this story again and again, the Apostle Paul persecuting those that follow Jesus, and all of a sudden Jesus meets him. And Paul becomes an Easter person. Lookouts for Christ turned lookouts against Christ also are invited back. And either they are invited back or they drift back into the mainstream mass of humanity that become then accessories to the accomplished and accomplishing will of God. In the end, everybody's either a participant or an accessory. And God is glorified. Because it's God's work that's getting done. Like we pray every week. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's happening. So everybody's some kind of a Palm Sunday person. I think it's worth asking it as a kind of an exercise. Well, where do I fit in? Am I a participant? Am I consciously aware that I'm participating with the living God, with Jesus Christ and His purposes in the world? Am I an accessory? God's glorified either way. Am I a lookout? Am I really kind of stepping back and watching? Well, let's see if Jesus does stuff the way I want Him to. Or let me learn more to see if He's really going to fit into my plans. We need to understand that the glory is that we get to fit into His plans. And when we're done with this little exercise about, you know, everybody's some kind of a Palm Sunday person, remember, Palm Sunday people become Good Friday people. The heat will get turned up. Things will be tested. Not to worry, though, because Good Friday people become Easter people. And that's the bottom line. Throw yourself into the mercy of God. Don't wait. Don't wait to figure out if Jesus is going to be more plus or more minus. If you're thinking that way, you don't know Him. And you need to get to know Him better. And one way to get to know Him is throw yourself by faith in with Him. Participate with Him. See, then what happens is, instead of having to go back through this sort of cycle in our own power of another whoopee Palm Sunday that gives way to another Good Friday, and we try to pull ourselves back up to another sort of Palm Sunday parade, hero, anything can happen, and then the same thing does. What happens is, through faith in Jesus, with Him as part of our life, we become Easter people. And we get to go back and do all the Palm Sundays that God has for us and all the Good Fridays that we're called to endure as new people in Jesus Christ, knowing that the end has been solved, knowing that the end is secure, knowing that however many times we have to do this parade and then difficulty thing, and there's more for you, and there's more for me, that we're going somewhere, and that has been secured by the One who marched in on Palm Sunday, went to the cross for us, and then, well, we'll save that for next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for this chance to be together, to worship You in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank You that Your love is for us. Lord, we thank you that the joke of Palm Sunday didn't turn into an endless cycle of Good Fridays, but rather ended in the once and for all beauty, wonder of Easter. Lord, I pray for me, and I pray for each of us, that we would be able to open our empty hands, to reach for you, that you might grab hold of us in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, that we might know that security, eternal security, because of your work accomplished for us and the gift of faith that you've given to us. Lord, help us to let down our penchant for being lookouts for ourselves and glimpse for a moment the reality that you have been looking out for us. And you were looking out for us as you marched into Jerusalem to the cheers. And as you hung on the cross to the insults. And as you were raised to life. We pray these things in your name and for your sake.